In this fourth lecture, we are now going to begin to apply the ethical, mystical, and symbolical approaches to the dietary laws. We're going to begin with the ethical approach, which is what we are going to now focus on. The Torah states, "V'an shikodesh tihyun li, uvasar basadet terefa lo sukhelu, lakelev tashlichun oso." And you shall be men of holy calling to me. You shall not eat any meat that is torn in the field. Now, the Torah's word for torn is trefa. The first half of the pasuk enjoins us to be holy, and as we have stated, holy vis-a-vis man means to conduct oneself in a moral or ethical manner, and to use a law term, we would say that you should have moral autonomy. This means that man's aim is to have complete self-control over himself. Now, in general, some people do not understand the idea that following the law makes you a free person. On the contrary, they say, if I do not follow the law, I could do what I want, and I'm therefore a much more free person than one who follows the Torah. However, the Torah perspective is the opposite. Those that follow their own inclination are slaves to themselves. They're slaves to their passions, their instincts, their impulses, and their desires. How does one rise above the animalistic nature of man? By submitting oneself to the Torah, the moral law. And this is the beginning of freedom. In the Torah sense, one who is a slave to his animalistic nature is a person who is in bondage. And the reverse is true as well. One who has control over himself is a free individual, since they are allowing their conscience, or their soul, to be in charge of what they do. In Pirkei Avos, Parak Vav, Mishnah Beis, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi quotes the pasuk that describes the Luchos, which are the tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on, and we know they were written in rock. The pasuk says as follows, it says, V'haluchos ma'asei Elokim hema, v'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu, charus al haluchos. So the Luchos were an act of God, and the writing on the Luchos were also an act of God, and the word for writing is charus. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Al tikrei charus, don't read it as if it says engraved, Ela charus, freedom. She'en lecha ben chorin, Ela misha usik b'talmud Torah. In other words, through the moral strictures of the Torah, one will attain freedom. And to quote Diane Grunfeld, thus, the fundamental idea of Jewish ethics, holiness, is inseparably connected with the idea of the law, and the dietary laws occupy a central position in that system of moral discipline, which is the basis of all Jewish laws. There is a similar idea that we see from the Yomim Tovim of Pesach and Shavuos, as Rav Hirsch writes in his commentary to Bamidbar 28:26. Pesach represents our freedom, but the question is freedom for what? From the time of Pesach until Shavuos, we count 7 weeks, and on the day of Shavuos, that is the day when the Torah is given. So we see the idea that our freedom that we attained by Pesach reaches its culmination in keeping the Torah on Shavuos. The karmon, the sacrifice brought on Shavuos, is the shtei halechem, 2 loaves of wheat bread. Bread represents man's freedom and independence. There is a process to make bread. It doesn't grow on trees. Human mastery is needed over the earth to produce the bread. Hence, it represents man's independence. We count the 7 weeks from our freedom and independence. And then on the day that the Torah is given, we show by the bread karbon that we've attained this independence through following the Torah. There are other examples of this, like by tzitzis, that part of it's knotted and the longer part is free, but let us continue. Mankind is driven by 3 main urges: the desire to eat, acquire items, and to procreate. In Judaism, we do not look down on any of these, but rather we seek to keep them within the strictures of what the Torah mandates, thereby ennobling us. The Torah takes these items and spiritualizes them. It makes them holy commandments that in turn turns them into legitimate joys of life. Man craves food, and his craving can lead to a gluttonous lifestyle. Through the laws of kosher, of kashrus, this instinct for food becomes a self-discipline. The very first law given to Adam and Chava was a dietary law. And further, our first encounter with a dietary law comes from Parshas Mishpatim, which we quoted the pasuk earlier, which revolves mainly around social legislation. The idea expressed here is that self-control begins with one of our most primitive drives, the desire to eat. As the author sums it up, thus, the dietary laws stand at the beginning of man's long and arduous road to self-discipline and moral freedom. So this concludes lecture number 4, our discussion of the ethical approach to kashrus, which, just to summarize, it tells us that the main idea behind these laws is moral discipline. And next time we'll discuss the mystical approach to the laws of kashrus.